You must have been kind of a hero in high school then. The kids heard you on the radio.
Well, not exactly. That was about the same time that the Top 40 was coming in.
Okay.
There was a station in Memphis, WMPS, and all they played was the Top 40 songs over and over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And the standard line in school was, "George, we like to listen to you, but you play that dang old hillbilly crud, and we won't listen to the Top 40 out of Memphis, so when you get on Top 40, we'll listen to you."
Mm-hmm.
Prophet was not without honor, and neither is a really bad disc jockey in his hometown.
Yeah. Okay, so what year did you graduate from high school?
I got out in June of 58.
All right. So then what happens to you?
Spent the summer working there. Okay, wait a minute. I did my freshman year at TU not working, took a 17-hour class load, got a 3.7 grade point. By the way, I was going to school on a strictly guest on multiple choice National Merit Scholarship by the Edwin T. Meredith Foundation.
Hmm.
Edwin T. Meredith at the time was the owner of KRMG, which was the station that had made me fall in love with Tulsa.
Yeah.
Okay? And my dream, John, was always that one morning I would wake up that's got a voice. And that night, Milt Haynes would get hired to go from KRMG to CBS in New York, and I would be hired to do Music Till Midnight five nights a week for 100 minutes a night.
Okay.
And I had no idea what else I would do, but that was my dream. So naturally, I continued to hate Top 40. Come my sophomore year, I was there at home in the middle of the summer working a split shift. I would go in, John, sign the station on, do its morning show from 6 until 8, go home and take a nap, come back and do the midday thing with including the Delmarva poultry markets and all that small market stuff that you hear. Then go home or go out to the ballpark and play a little baseball with my friends, and then come back in and do 4 to 6:30.
Wow.
And one day while that was going on, it dawned on me that I really needed to get something coming in cash wise because even with the scholarship, college was expensive. So I wrote to this kid that I had, or not kid, he was a guy back, a veteran who'd been in the Korean War, going to TU with me on the VA bill, GI bill. And I wrote Pete, and I said, "Look, you know what I feel about the kind of station you're working for." He was an Osage County transmitter engineer for KAKC. I said, "But I don't think with these pipes I'm really cut out for the KRMG job that I lust for. And I really need something. Would you mention to them if they need some part-time help to call me?" And about 2 days later, Clayton Bond called, and I got hired to come to work doing weekends, 2 6-hour shows on weekends when school started again there on KAKC.
Wow. Clayton Bond.
And then
the
I got there, and they said somebody else had left. Would I like to do the all-night show? And not having the gumption God gave a garami, I said, "Well, yeah, why not? I'm only taking 16 hours this semester." Came close to killing myself.
So that was when you were a sophomore at TU?
That was a sophomore at TU. I was taking, I'd say, 16 hours. Oh, I had classes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 until noon. Tuesday and Thursday, I had a something not to 11, but on Tuesday I had a 5-hour chem lab from 1 until 6. And I've never been able to sleep very well. Guess who was running on fumes the whole time, John?
Who was that?
Moi. I got down to about 123 pounds. Now, I'm not a big guy, but I'd start out at about 140, 142. I got down to 123, got to where if somebody dropped a pencil behind me, I came up ready to fight.
Hmm.
That's when I went in. I said, and Dick Schmitz had been so wonderful to me. And I said, "Dick, I hate to let you down, but this is killing me. I'm going to lose my scholarship, and I've got to cut back. He said, well, if I could move you up to 9 to midnight, I could try that. And we did that because they had a guy that his wife was a teacher, and as soon as she got through teaching that summer, they were going back to Pennsylvania, and they knew it, and he wasn't pulling all that good numbers in daytime anyway, so they moved him to the midnight, moved his slack guy somewhere else, and gave me the 9 to midnight. And there it took off.
So how did your studies go?
They dropped to about a 3.2, but I still easily held onto my scholarship.
Good.
And the next semester, I was nowhere nearly as crazy about seeing how many hours I could cram in. And I also knew a little bit better what my schedule would be like, so I didn't schedule everything to start at 8 in the morning and stretch out till 6 in the afternoon.
Didn't Jim Hartz work with you, or Jim Hartz that went on?
Jim and I, we had classes at TU. We had classes at TU. Later, we worked together during my one brief moment of actually going to my dream job. Jim was doing a nighttime disc jockey show on KRMG. I was his news voice on KRMG. The only problem with that equation was that Jim was a good disc jockey. But until then, we just ran around. There was a bunch of us from TU. Jim, me, a kid named Jim Hill, who later worked at KRMG, but at the time was working on KOME, Mike Miller and Gary Chu, both of whom were working at what was then called KTUL, later became KELI, and I'm sure it's something else by now. And we ran the streets after we got off at midnight, and when we were on together all at the same time in midnight, 7 to midnight, we would do things like, I bet you could hear this song on just about every station in Tulsa. We'd play something like Theme from a Summer Place. And I got in trouble with Schmitz one time. One of the few times he ever called me in and said, close the door, Scoot. And I went, oh, Lord. Scooter, I know you guys have fun at night. I don't mind. But Bob Hoth woke me from a sound sleep to say, go down there and fire that little bleep bleep. He just told everybody, I think if you dial over to KRMG or KBOO or KTUL, you'd hear them playing it too. Well, nobody ever said I was the smartest cookie in the jar.
Yeah, we should say that Jim Hartz, of course, at KRMG, then he eventually went on and did the Today Show for NBC and was a chief anchor at, I don't know if it was in New York or whatever, and he died recently.
Jim passed away. He and I went through spates of 3 or 4 days in a row sending these long, long emails like, what would print out on 3 or 4 text pages. And we had been back and forth on one of those, something about the political situation and what it was like living where he still was in Washington. And we just had a nice, casual back and forth for 3 or 4 days, and then it stopped like they tended to. About 2 weeks later, I get a thing from my friend Jim. I can't think of his last name. This is one of my senior citizen tricks. But I got an email from him, and it just said, Jim Hartz. I go, oh, Jim and I are good buddies. And then I opened it was Jim's obituary.
Yeah.
And I felt really sad that Jim and I had not still been in contact.
Yeah. Okay, so let's track you then. Did you finish? Did you graduate from TU?
Actually, I managed to do that. I even signed up, mostly as a draft avoidance, for a master's degree. But after about 6 weeks into there, we realized that wasn't going to happen. And so I took my chance and ended up being not acceptable for service anyway because I had an ulcer when I was a kid. And John, if I wrote my life down, people would say, you're making all that up.
Right.
And I think a lot of times I would probably agree with them, except I was there when it happened, and I felt all the discomfort that came from really living through it.